Amen. All God's children said? Amen. I told Mark, I said, if he had sang that song down at Clear Springs, where we're from in Knoxville, somebody in the back would have said, let her rip again. And we'd have been singing it for another 4 or 5 minutes. Y'all be blessed that I didn't let that out, because we might have done it. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 37. And I told Mark in the 8:30 service, I loved his glasses so much, I went and got my own pair. I'm getting older now, and I have to have some glasses. I have to tell you real briefly, this morning in the 8:30 service, I told them that at our church, our choir director loves to sing. And so when you preach 8:30 service, you're lucky to get 5, maybe 10 minutes to try to get a message in and get it out. So I told them, I said, if I let you out early, we'll just yield that time over to the 11 o'clock crowd. Amen? And so if I go a couple minutes over, it's only because I've got a minute built up in the spiritual bank account. I have to tell you how the Lord gave me this message. Last year, I was in Memphis, Tennessee, and I ran across some pastors out of Mississippi. And we started a conversation and a little quick Bible study during lunch that day. And it breathed itself into months and months of emails going back and forth. And so 3 guys out of Mississippi and myself, we prayed over this and we emailed back and forth. And we've come up with this kind of an outline called You Can't Have It Both Ways. You Can't Have It Both Ways. So we're going to get into that, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will lead today. I pray that you will be blessed by what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. For those of you that have sensitive feet, you may want to tuck them back under the pews, because this is a message that is timely for our nation, I really believe. If you have your Bibles, let's see, Jeremiah chapter 37, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Jeremiah chapter 37, and when you found it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I know you can say amen, and I'm looking forward to hearing it as we preach. All righty, Jeremiah chapter 37 and verse 1. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, from whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, made the king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the Lord which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. Notice what he said there. And Zedekiah, the king of Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not yet put him in prison. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. And when the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians, that besieged Jerusalem had heard the tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word to the Lord, of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians, shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourself, saying, the Chaldeans, or Babylonians, shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but a wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. Please be seated as we pray. Father God, we know that today is a day that you have made. We know that we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, this is homecoming day. And while many people have came back to the Liberty Baptist Church, which they have called home for many years, and were loved upon and thrived as they studied the Word of God, Father, let this be not only a day for them to come home, but let this be a day for the wayward to come home. Let this be a day that the lost sheep may come home. Let this be a day that the prodigal son who is in a far country living in the swine of infidelity and immorality, let him hear the gospel today and let him come home. That you, with loving and open arms, that you may receive him unto yourself. Father, we pray that you would put a hedge of protection about this time, that your name would be exalted. And as we go into your word, our prayer is that you would go, that your word would go into us. For it's in the name that is above every name, and that is the name of Jesus, we pray and ask all these things. And all God's children said, amen. A shock at the horror, the hurt, inflicted on a college campus by a lone gunman, soon turns into anger and debate as President Obama and many others begin to debate and to offer up solutions to what seemingly has become a routine problem in America. Here it is, America cries out wanting peace. But yet I find no one calling upon the Prince of Peace. America is saying, God bless us, but we refuse to bow down to God Almighty. That's why I want to share with you, we can't have it both ways. See, the real issue that America is facing, brothers and sisters, is sin. And so since the issue is sin, righteousness is the only solution. We wonder why it is that folks can put bombs on their bodies and walk in and blow up innocent standbyers. I'll tell you, it's because of sin. We wonder why people, we're living in a time of violence and crime, where even grandmothers getting out of the car is not even safe in their own driveway. It is because of sin. We wonder why we have people walking on college campuses and schools and walking even into church buildings and opening up fire. It's because of sin. Well, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 34, that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible says in Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 11, that it is by the blessings of the upright that the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. You see, America wants it both ways. So it was with the children of Judah in Jeremiah chapter 37. See, 37, 38, and 39 gives us the chronological order of the last years of Judah before they went into the Babylonian captivity. And over in 2 Kings chapter 24, that gives us a summary version. Boy, and Pastor Stan, when I read this, it was almost as if I was reading some of our nation's history. Because here it is, the people wanted to prayers of God. Look at what he says real quickly in verse 3 at the end. Pray now unto the Lord your God. See, Zedekiah comes on the throne and he says, preacher, I want you to ask God to pray for us. I want you to ask God to intercede on our behalf. And Jeremiah says, okay, but you're going to have to live according to the principles of God's holy word. He says, I want it both ways. See, the real issue that we have in this nation and in America is sin. And so if we want to usher in revival in our nation, we've got to lead our churches. We've got to lead our families. We've got to lead our communities back to righteousness before a holy God. So how do we do that? All right, let's pick up the reading here in Jeremiah chapter 37. Number one, it says that they would not listen. Look at what it says in verse 2. But neither he, nor the servants, nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord which spake by prophet Jeremiah. Number one, they wouldn't listen. I call this their hard-headedness. Why? Because, you see, Zedekiah, of all folks, should have listened to what the man of God had to say. See, his daddy was Josiah, and Josiah was the last good king of Judah. Zedekiah had come on the throne, and he had also witnessed two of his older brothers do evil and get taken off the throne. He's going to watch his nephew come to the throne, and only 3 months he's going to be taken captive back to Babylon. And yet when he steps on the throne, instead of following in the pathways of his daddy Josiah, instead of doing the right thing, Zedekiah refused to listen to the man of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, anybody ever had some hard-headed kids? Any of you ever been a hard-headed kid? Why is it that we just can't listen to what the Bible has to say? So how do we fix this? I mean, how are we going to solve this? Well, it's very simple. The Bible says that we should open and shut. Open and shut. When something is real simple, when it's just extremely simple, we simply say it is an open and shut case. God is saying to each one of us this afternoon that we need to open our Bibles so that we can open our eyes to seeing the truth of the Bible, so that we can open our ears to hearing the truth of the Bible, so that we can open our hearts to receive the truth of the Bible, and then shut our mouth and stop arguing against the truth. Revival will come when we get back to the simple basics of the Word of God. Here in America, we don't have to debate in churches whether or not the Bible is right. It's open and shut. We've begun a national debate upon marriage. The Bible makes it perfectly clear. In the beginning, God created them male and female. For this cause, a man shall leave his family, mother and father, and cleave unto his wife, and they become one flesh. It's an open and shut case. We're talking about how to raise kids, and the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but rather bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's an open and shut case. We'll wonder how our kids are running wild and amok in this country. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. Y'all, it's an open and shut case. We're debating on how to get to heaven. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's open and shut. If ever there was a time, we need to simply get back to listening to the Word of God. Not only was it that they wouldn't listen, number one, number two, they wouldn't live it. Look with me again in verse 3. And Zedekiah, the king, sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, to the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God. After saying, oh no, preacher, we don't want to listen, close up the Bible. We don't want to hear what you've got to say. He sends word to the Jeremiah, saying, pastor, would you ask God to intercede on our behalf? I call this their hard-heartedness. Their hard-heartedness. Why? On one hand, they wanted the preacher to pray to God for them. But the people were not willing to be pure before God. They wanted help, but no holiness. They wanted a way out of trouble, but they were refusing the way to God. They wanted deliverance, but no dedication. Solution, but no salvation. They wanted a revival without righteousness. They wanted a win without working. They wanted a favorable outcome without faithful obedience. Sounds like some of our nation today. We want to have it both ways when we refuse to live according to God's principles. And yet we say, God, I want you to pray for me. I want you to intercede on my behalf. So what is God saying that we should do? Not only open and shut, we should obey and submit. James was right when he said, don't just be a hearer only of the word, but be a doer of the word as well. Zedekiah and the people refused to simply obey God's word and to submit to what God has said. Now I know I'm talking to some good people. I know you're a good church. I know you have a great pastor and a great staff and great deacons and Sunday school teachers. And I know you are taught the Word of God every week. But we must get to the point to where we simply obey God's Word and to submit to what God has said. Now, over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 38, around verse 14, Zedekiah sends word for Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, I want you to come up, and I got a question. I want to ask you something, and I don't want you to hide the truth from me. I want you to come up and tell me the truth. And he asks him a question, and Jeremiah says, well, if I come up and I tell you the truth, you're going to kill me. And if I give you advice, you won't listen to me anyway. That's how I feel right about now. Some of y'all are looking like you want to kill me. And I know Pastor Stan gives you advice every week. Zedekiah said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. Jeremiah says, if you want to do the right thing, surrender to Babylon and it'll go well. The city will be spared. God will not hand you over. God will not even allow the people to hand you over if you would only surrender to the Babylonians. Zedekiah said, I can't do that. Do y'all think he did it? No. He was Baptist. He ain't going to change. He ain't going to do it. You know what I'm saying? He ain't going to do it. And 11 years later, in 586 BC, God is going to allow Nebuchadnezzar to come right back and do what he said he was going to do. Why? Because we refuse to obey and submit. I know you guys are a good church. But if we can come to church week after week and there's never a change in our lives, something is wrong. If every time Pastor Stan gets up here and we're getting ready, you're getting ready to go into revival, and Brother Rick Horn's going to be up here and he's going to be preaching and he's going to be preaching the Word of God. And if you are not ever in your life brought to conviction, something is wrong. If we can say, I want you to preach to others, but not live it ourselves, we don't obey and submit ourselves to the Word of God. See, it's easy for us to look at the rest of the world and say, well, you need to live it, but don't talk to me. Pastor Stan, when you preached on that line, sermon last week, that was for everybody else. It wasn't for me. We must get to the point in our lives where we take the Word of God and look into the Word of God like a mirror and saying, Lord, I need you. It is me that needs you to come and breathe afresh on me. We must obey and submit ourselves to the Word of God. Something is wrong if we can preach it, but don't practice it. Something is wrong if we can talk it, but don't walk it. Something is wrong if we can tell others to live it, but don't live it ourselves. They wouldn't obey and submit. Now let me give you the last one and I'll let you go. Number three, they wouldn't last. They wouldn't listen, they wouldn't live it, and they wouldn't last. I call this God's hard-handedness. Why? Because when they sent word to Jeremiah and said, Brother Pastor, I want you to pray for us, I want you to intercede for our behalf, God said, let them know, Jeremiah, I know they're asking for help. I know they want to know what's going to happen. You let them know that the Babylonians are on their way back. Even though they have left the city for a little while, they're going to come back. Even if the entire army has been destroyed and only a handful of wounded warriors are left, in verse 10, they will stagger from their tents. They will come back and they will burn this city to the ground. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Judgment has been sentenced. The verdict has been handed down. It has been signed and authoritated by the hand of God. Judgment is on its way. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we could just look at our nation today and know that we want it both ways. And God is saying, judgment is on its way. You can chase them, you can fight them, you can kill them, and if only a handful of wounded survivors are left, they will stagger from their tents and they will burn your city to the ground. So how do we fix this? How do we, as Christians and as pastors and men and women of God, how do we get to that point? Well, it's simple. We must oppose and speak. Oppose and speak. Oppose the status quo. Oppose the political correct. Oppose the majority of the people that is going one way. No, God is saying, I'm looking for some Christians who will take a stand. I'm looking for somebody who will speak up for what is right, who will speak out against what is wrong. I need some Christians who know that judgment is coming, and yet they won't sugarcoat the Word of God. They won't water it down, but they will be true to the message of Jesus and oppose and speak. You see, the Word hadn't changed. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I just want you to let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And that's why I want to share with you, we can't have it both ways. If America is saying, God, we want you to bless us, God, we want you to pray for us, but we're not willing to live according to the principles of God's Word, we can't have it both ways. We can't have sin reigning in our lives. If we allow sin to run amok in our lives, we won't last. If we allow sin to live in our families, we won't last. If we allow sin in our communities, we won't last. And if we allow sin in our churches, we won't last. Matthew 6:24, Luke 16:13, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We can't have it both ways. Isn't it something? Many of you in this room probably watch a show called Empire. But yet you come to church and pray, His kingdom come. Y'all, we can't have it both ways. Many of you are caught up with a show called Modern Family. And yet you sit in the pews and pray to God for a model family. We can't have it both ways. When one of your most popular shows on TV is How to Get Away with Murder, and we talk about reducing violence in our communities, we can't have it both ways. We can't have same-sex marriages and stronger family values. We can't have it both ways. We want to take religion and rules out of school, and yet we want respect and safety in school. We can't have it both ways. We can't have a gender-neutral society and yet have a God-blessed society. We can't have it both ways. How silly it is that we think we have the audacity to tell a righteous, holy God who made you male or made you female that today I decided I don't want to be either one of those. I want to be a signal or some sign. We can't have it both ways. We want wisdom, but no studying. Riches, but no responsibility. Peace, but no relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't have it both ways. We want a happy marriage, but we keep on arguing about who's going to make up the bed. Y'all, we can't have it both ways. We want godly children, but nobody want to take the time to teach them. We want a revival, but no righteousness. Wisdom, but no studying. Riches and no responsibility. We can't have it both ways. 2 Chronicles 7:14 said that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, pray, and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal the land. We can't have it both ways. I don't know about y'all. I don't want it both ways. That's what I love about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. And aren't you glad that when you got Jesus, you got his way? And his way is the best way. How in the world do you experience that way? I'm glad you asked. You see, one Friday morning on an old rugged cross, Jesus died for our sins. There was a debt. It had to be paid. And my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Jesus died and he paid the debt. There was a debt that somebody had to pay. And aren't you glad that Jesus paid it all? All to him we owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he wiped it whiter than snow. Went down in the grave, but early Sunday morning, he rose with all power in his hand. And he said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. And Jesus said, all you that are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I don't know what your testimony is, but my testimony is I came to Jesus just like I was, weary and wounded and sad. But I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Oh, in his way, there is peace forevermore. In his way, there is joy and protection. Yes, we can't have it both ways, but I dare us to live righteous. I dare us to lead our families back to holiness. I dare us to take our children and have Bible study and get them planted in a church where sports don't come first. Get them active in the youth group. Get grandma and grandpa active in church and say, as a family, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to stand for what is truth. I'm going to stand for what is right. I'm going to live holy and righteous. Jesus said, if you do that, I'll be lifted up. I will draw all men unto me. We can't have it both ways. As Mark comes to lead us in a song of invitation, you may be thinking, that's pretty interesting there, James. That's pretty interesting how you go back to the Old Testament and you talk about Zedekiah and Jeremiah and how it relates to our modern world and how we as a nation are trying to have it both ways. But over in the book of Exodus chapter 33, 32, 33, and 34, when Moses is coming off the mountain, he's got the two tablets of stone. And when he comes down and he sees the immorality amongst the people, worshiping the golden calf, having a big, as we say in East Tennessee, a big old shindig, throwing a party, he breaks the tablets and you think it's over. See, in verse 34, God says something very interesting. He said, Moses, I want you to hew out two stones just like the other ones. And when you bring them up, I'm going to write my laws just like they were. See, we think that because we removed the Ten Commandments off of the courthouse, they're gone. We think that because we take them out of the schoolhouse, they're gone. God says, my laws are still perfect. My laws are still prevalent. My laws are still important. And if you want to have a blessed society, if you want to have a blessed nation, you can't have it both ways. We must submit ourselves to a holy, righteous God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, I know we're on the verge of revival here at Liberty Baptist Church. And I prayed earnestly about this service. I prayed fervently about this service because I want you guys to understand the importance of what you're on the preface of. You're going to be blessed for the next few days to have someone come and preach the gospel to you in sincerity of heart. You're going to have someone come and preach the gospel, pure and unadulterated, to you. But you must make a choice. You must stand for what is right. You must speak up for what is right and speak out against what is wrong. Because if we want revival in our nations, it's going to have to begin in my house. It's going to have to begin in my heart. So many of you are tired. You're worn out. You're stressed because you're trying every day of your life to have it both ways. You go to church on Sunday, but live like the world on Monday. You go to church on Sunday, but you laugh at the jokes in school on Monday. God is saying, if you want peace, if you want joy, if you want protection, you must come unto me. All ye that are weary and heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for his yoke is easy. I don't know what burdens you face today. I don't know what battles you're involved in. I don't know what situations are going on inside your house. But I know that Jesus is the only answer. Today, the altar is going to be open. Maybe you're a Christian and you've been trying to have it both ways and you're not planted in a church home. You're not planted here at Liberty Baptist Church. You've been faithfully attending, but you just haven't made that commitment. The altar is going to be open. Men and women of God will come and meet with you and talk to you, and Pastor Stan will accept you and pray with you. Maybe you're a husband or a wife or a student who is just worn out by trying to be two people. You're trying to have it both ways. Let today be the day that you release those burdens. Let today be the day that you come to the altar. Let today be the day that you lay it at the foot of the cross. And if for some reason you've been here in this church or you're visiting and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you don't know what joy and peace is. Your happiness is built on the things of this world. Jesus said that all things will fade away. Only that which is laid up in heaven will be eternal. Today is the day you too can quit trying to have it both ways. That you can have that peace and that joy and that comfort and the happiness that can only come from the Holy Spirit that is living and dwelling and breathing and moving inside of your heart. Just a second, I'm going to turn it over to Mark and Pastor Stan for a time of invitation. But I know this, there's somebody here today that your heart is fluttering. You feel the hand of God reaching into your soul, turning on that light switch in your mind, and you're so tired of trying to do it yourself. You're so tired of this world beating you down. Jesus says, you can't have it both ways. His way is the best way. God, we thank you. We praise you. We pray that your name has been exalted. And we lift up to you this invitation now. Bless as only you can. Have your perfect will in the lives and hearts today. and we'll give you the glory you deserve. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Mark.
Let's all stand.